hapless but well-intentioned cluelessness among the adults in the film. So there's a scene where like she goes to this party, and the present scene, I thought, which was one of the real sort of like heartbreaking ones for me, where Kayla gives the very popular girl like this game that she really likes, and the popular girl's is sort of like, you know, what the fuck is this? Or at least like she sort of like shows it rather than sort of says it. So as a result, Kayla like ends up like wanting to just wanting to leave. She meets a boy. And I think, yeah, there's sort of also these scenes, and there's a scene where like she's kind of like crushing on another boy on Instagram. And then there's like, this is sort of where like I'm sort of a bit struggling in terms of telling the story, because there are lots of these moments. There's like moments where she sort of makes a friend for the first time and they go to the mall, and like during this time, like, you know, there's sort of, it's the first time she's sort of like really interacting with people. There's scenes where like she's kind of making a plan for herself to sort of become popular, or like not to become popular, but to sort of have friends. And like, it's a very sort of methodically laid out system that I think you could only really sort of envision if you were a child. And it is both like very funny, but also quite heartbreaking at the same time. The scene that we were talking about just before we were recording was the scene in the car, I think, or just like one of those, like the real sort of moment where I think, Hannah, as you mentioned, like you mentioned that this sort of, there are sort of these really horrific moments that both like feign awkwardness, but this sort of sense of real kind of dread for this child who is desperately trying to sort of, you know, just have a bit of a social life, and is kind of, it's like a very disturbing interaction with a young man who is basically trying to take advantage of her. And then during those time, like, you know, you can also sort of see how like her relationship to video making. So at one point she sort of decides to like just not make any videos at all. But like towards the end of the film, she realizes that actually like she's sort of developed, I think this is the case, like she's sort of developing a bit of a following as well. And that's kind of what makes her go back to making videos. And then there's, you know, and the like the relationship between the father and the daughter sort of like develops over time. And there's you know, the moment, like a very sweet moment at the end of the film where like her and her father like kind of almost make peace. I don't know if that's like the right term for it. That I think is like a sort of decent summary of the film itself. And I think what the thing that I sort of wanted to capture was that there are moments in this film. Like, this is very much a film where you're sort of exploring moments of this girl's life. And what is worth saying that, like, yeah, I think these are sort of like in the weeks running up to her middle school graduation. So it's sort of, the film also ends at that point where they graduate, and she like tells the popular girls whose party she went to that actually they suck. And the girls don't say anything back to her because they're too busy on their phones. Yeah. And I think, I guess like at that point, it might be worth talking about like certain scenes, like what, so Hannah, like, as I get, like what scenes of this film, I think do like point out, like, or come out to you as sort of being really interesting or sort of insightful in terms of like exploring the themes of this film and what it's trying to say.
I mean, I think like kind of one of my favorite bits in the film, is when Kayla is like surfing like Instagram and like YouTube, and Enya is playing, like the song Sail Away is playing, which
yeah.
I forever kind of associate that song with the end of David Fincher's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, where Daniel Craig is about to be like murdered by Stellan Skarsgård, and he's like, let me just put on some mood music, and it's Sail Away by Enya. So like, there's the kind of double layer of that being like one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen, and then like there's this idea of this 13-year-old, her internal kind of like, I don't know, soundtrack is Enya. It's like, oh, okay, choices there. But I think that to me is one of the, like, it's a very funny scene because Enya inherently funny to me, but also because it rings so true. I mean, that kind of infinite scroll has become, I mean, it's been a part of my life probably since I was like 15. I mean, I'm trying to remember kind of when I first got like Facebook. I think it was probably around being like 15, 16. And I think just this idea of being able to kind of immerse yourself in this other place so completely, to the point where she goes from like kind of coming home from school, being on her phone, to like suddenly, like, smash cut, she's at the dinner table and her dad is trying to have a conversation with her. And she's like, what? Like, just, I've been that kid. And I think, like, even though, like, kind of like I said earlier, like, the film is set at such a specific moment in time, I think it really is about anxieties and kind of, what's the word, like, experiences that I think anyone kind of like Gen X and younger is still kind of going through. I think that, you know, a 13-year-old would watch this now and be like, yeah, I see myself in this. Even though it's actually, what now, like, God, 6-7 years since this film was made, which kind of seems crazy. I think that there's, I don't know, it's strange to think of a film that's so intentionally set at a moment in history that has somehow managed to kind of develop a timelessness almost. I mean, I don't know if in 10 years time, God knows what teenagers will be doing to get their social media fix. Like, it might just be injected into eyeballs or something. But I think definitely that to me is one of the key scenes that highlights that, like, it's almost like a religious thing. It's kind of like she gets home, she has this, like, instead of praying, it's like, just go on social media and, like, scroll. And it doesn't really matter what she's looking at. It's just kind of like, okay, heart that, like, comment on that. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like a religious, it's like a game. I don't know, there's kind of various elements to her relationship with social media. But I think definitely it's maybe the first big moment in the film where I was like, oh, okay, like, I'm on this film is on my kind of wavelength. This film is speaking to something that I don't think I've seen in films before. In regards to, like, social media, I think it's always treated as kind of, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like those, like, Dare PSAs from the 80s where it's like, hey, yeah, kids, this thing's gonna murder you. That's how, like, films treat social media. And this 8th grade is one of the first ones that I can really think of that managed to balance that in kind of way. It's like, it, you know, it's not treating social media as though it's like this amazing thing, but it's not kind of totally vilifying it. It's just trying to kind of accurately represent what it means to young people.
Yeah, I would say that it tries to document the role that it has in these young people's lives in a very critical way. It shows Kayla, she's not really watching or looking at anything. She's just looking at it. She's just kind of passively absorbing. And even though there's a kind of, there's a pantomime of a social aspect. So, you know, like you said, sometimes she likes something, sometimes she'll comment on something, but it's a way of kind of blanking out her own thoughts. And that's sort of quite explicit. And this is definitely something which I'm familiar with. If I get stuck in the app loop, when you start, like, jumping from app to app to app to app in a kind of little circle, and your thumbs do it before you got a chance to say, no, I've got stuff to do. And you can feel yourself as you're doing it getting more and more bored, but also more and more agitated, which is quite a kind of interesting experience. And you can see that these kids, they're not interested in or absorbed by or engaged by what they're looking at. They're just looking at it. And I think it's very important that that they show Kayla is a creator as well as a consumer. So when she wants to know something, it wouldn't occur to her to look in a book. It wouldn't occur to her to ask her dad. It wouldn't occur to her to ask any of her peers, obviously. So immediately she'll look up a tutorial on YouTube. It shows her putting her makeup on with a tutorial in the background, but also she is setting herself up as being someone who is capable of giving tutorials. And something which I'm not sure is hugely explicit, but I think it's sort of quite well done because it's so subtle, is that she has a persona that she makes her YouTube videos in. And the persona is based on one of the popular girls at school. So she tells the story of the pool party with herself as the popular girl who has been forced to invite the stand-in for herself to her party, and the moral of this video is that she wants to tell people that, like, even if someone might seem like a bit weird or unpopular, like, they're probably really cool. So, like, make an effort with them. And I think that's honestly one of the most heartbreaking parts of it, is that it's not that she is even remotely unaware of where she sits within this hierarchy, and there is this pretense that the fact that they're all just on their screens all the time, and they're all just looking and looking and looking and staring and staring and staring, that there is a kind of not egalitarianness to it, but a kind of comradeship in boredom. But the hierarchies are still as rigid as ever there were. Like, the popular girls would still find a way to be cold and disconnected to her, even if they didn't have a phone to look at while she spoke to them. This is not, like, none of this is new. Mm. And something that I actually wanted to ask you both is whether or not, because I completely agree that it seems very reflective and it seems very honest, and a 13-year-old now would think, yeah, I see something in this. But then I actually don't know if they would. So what I've been trying to decide, what I think, and I'm interested to hear what both of you think, is this actually so reflective, or is this supposed to be a counter to what we think of as the teen coming of age movie, which is something that presumably Bo Burnham also will have grown up with? Is this supposed to be the anti-Mean Girls?